Divine grace, la vecchia venavenda, si la parte gran famiglia maraja, si la compare chi ananto si va isna venda chi sama veta bhakta venda chi gol prema nam di arimo could I request Lemon, Nima, and everyone to move a little bit to this side so that our gentleman with the chair can come inside. Please come inside so that we don't block the vision of those who are behind you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From the Bhagavatam about the vow of silence or monam. This text needs to be understood in context. It is describing the great sage Kadama Muni as he leaves home for a life of increased longing. He goes into the forest to pursue the spiritual search. Kadama Muni had come from the forest. He had meditated there, and one day the Lord appeared to him on Garuda's back and told him he should leave the forest and take to the responsibility of the Grihastha ashram, because the Lord himself wanted to appear as the son of Kadama and his future wife to spread the Sankhya philosophy. He would appear as Kapila, the great avatar. So Kadama Muni, who was a great saint and devotee, followed the order of the Lord, married, and eventually Kapila appeared to him. And then Kadama Muni left home because his Grihastha ashram was fulfilled. He left home to look for the Lord. And one might ask, why did he leave home to look for the Lord when the Lord had appeared in his home? And the answer to this is that Kadama Muni wanted to further the mission of the Lord by following the established system which the Lord had put forward for the benefit of human race. That is that a person leaves home at the age of 50 to become more devoted to his spiritual pursuit. So, good, this is the context. The Kadama Muni leaves home, and he does to increase his spiritual practice, and he does this by adopting a vow, a few vows, and one of them is the vow of monam, or he will not speak any longer, the vow of silence. Because we are a little brief, we will just go passed through the Sanskrit. Vratam sa asti. Vratam sa asti to bonam.
Vratam sa asti to bonam.
Atmaika sharano muni.
Atmaika sharano muni.
Nisango vyacharat kshoni.
Nisango vyacharat kshoni.
Anakni aniketanaha.
Anakni aniketanaha.
Someone else, please.
Vratam sa asti to maunam.
Vratam sa asti to maunam.
Atmaka sharano muni.
Atmaka sharano muni.
Nisango vyacharat shonim.
Nisango vyacharat shonim.
Anagmir aniketana.
Anagmir aniketana.
Vratam,
vau,
saha, hikadama, astitaha, accepted, monam,
silence,
atma, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, eka,
exclusively,
saranaha,
being sheltered,
munihi,
the sage,
nisangaha,
without association,
vyacharat,
he travelled,
chonim,
the earth,
anagnihi,
without fire.
This means he doesn't cook for himself.
Aniketanaha,
without shelter.
Translation.
The sage Kadama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of him exclusively. Without association, he traveled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Here the word anagni aniketana are very significant. This is the purport. A sannyasi should be completely detached from fire and any residential quarters. A grihastha has a relationship with fire, either for offering sacrifices or for cooking. But a sannyasi is freed from these two responsibilities. No fire yakyas and no cooking for the sannyasi. He does not have to cook or offer fire for sacrifice because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he has already accomplished all ritualistic performances of religion. Aniketana means without lodging. The sannyasi should not have his own house, but should depend completely on the Supreme Lord for his food and lodging. He should travel. Mona means silence. Please listen now very carefully. Unless one becomes silent, He cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, therefore he takes the vow of monam. No. Rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that a rascal appears very intelligent as long as he does not speak. But speaking is the test. The so-called silence of a silent, impersonalist Swami indicates that he has nothing to say. He simply wants to beg. But the silence adopted by Kadama Muni was not like that. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. He became silent for... Oh my God, I'm going on repeat. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. One is called a Muni when he remains grave and does not talk nonsense. Maharaj Ambarish set a very good example. Whenever he spoke about the pastimes of the Lord. Mona necessitates refraining from nonsensical talking and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. In that way, one can chant and hear about the Lord in order to perfect his life. Vratam means that one should take a vow as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam adambitvam, without hankering for personal respect and without being proud of one's material position. Ahimsa means being non-violent. Therefore, there are 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection. And by his vow, Kadama Muni adopted all the principles of self-realization. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale, Srinath Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Prachamine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Ashtakali Shatamine, Jaya Sri and we contribute to this ocean of sound by making sound ourselves. By sound we connect to our sense of reality. If I speak the things which are in my heart, you know what is my reality. But I also create a reality by speaking. If I speak all this about spiritual things, one day I will be purified by this talk and it will be realized by me. Sound describes a person and sound makes a person. Especially spiritual sound forms the personality. But also material sound. A person who is born in a family of low-class people who speak always words with start with F and end with K, they are definitely also becoming low-class. Sound vibration makes a person. So if one refrains from material sound and all this really nonsensical, low-class, offensive talk, which we all categorize under the great heading of prajalpa, then we are, we refrain, and then we make a cut from this word. And when we add on this cut, or into this silence, only transcendental sound vibration, then we are forming our spiritual identity. Therefore, we always say something better than silence. It means be silent as far as material sounds are concerned, and say and enter the world of spiritual reality by talking spiritual sound vibration. Today, on your 64-ounce day, you will take this very powerful ancient practice of Maunam. That means you will refrain from all material sounds, and you will this way cut your relationship to the material world, and you will not remain in this neutral position where you just cut it. You will enter a spiritual dimension in your consciousness by only pronouncing spiritual sound vibration. Prabhupada speaks about the vow of silence in with great, he puts a great emphasis in his purport. He doesn't say it's not for the Hare Krishnas, but he says, unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. And he says at another place, Mona necessitates refraining from nonsensical talking, that's prajalpa, and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. In that way means if you stop talking prajalpa, one can chant and hear about the Lord in order to perfect his life. Chant and hear with Monam, you can perfect your life. Yes. This helps. We are a preaching movement and we have to talk. And we are attracting always new participants, new members who are young and, let us say, young in their spiritual experience. Maybe some of them are very old because they have past life experiences, but they come just from the world. And there is, of course, a lot of discussions, but we try to put Krishna in these discussions as much as possible. It's an austerity to practice being silent with material sound and becoming enlivened with spiritual sound. It says in the Bhagavad Gita about the vow of silence, Monam Atma Vinigraha. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So when you want to control your sense of speech, speak truthful, pleasing, and beneficial to others. That is, talk about make spiritual sound, talk about the spiritual reality. Now there is also an austerity for the mind. You know, these austerities purify you, just like fire purifies gold. In the same way, you know, it becomes hot and hotter, and then the very noble metal, gold, separates from the alloys, that is those who things which are there, like iron and lead maybe, and then the gold flows away from this, separates, and you have the pure substance. Austerity purifies us just like fire, therefore it's called tapa, the heat of austerity. How to purify the mind? There are 1, 2, 3, 4 things you should do. You should be satisfied in whatever circumstance, whatever life brings you, knowing it comes from Krishna. You should be simple, that is uncomplicated. You should have gravity. And gravity is here, is the Sanskrit word is munam. Don't talk about mundane things. This is gravity. And then you should practice self-control. This will purify the mind. So monam, the vow of silence, helps us to purify the mind so that the mind can more easily be directed towards Krishna. If you always put furniture in the room, how will you be able to receive new things? If you always put sound vibration in your mind, always speak, how will you be able to be peaceful and create a free space for new spiritual realizations to come? Monam is very good. Just like you fast your body from the overdoses of pizzas and ice cream to become healthy, you have to fast the mind from material sound vibration and nonsense to become healthy in your thinking, in your emotions, in your whatever. You purify the mind like this. It's very interesting for a devotee. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. For a devotee, it's very important to create a space for realization. That you do when you become silent. There is a very interesting verse about this, creating a space for realization, in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, verse 38. Monam shaivasmi guyanam jnanam jnanat vatammaham. Krishna there says of secret things, the things which are secret. Guya. Guya means the hidden spiritual sort of things, huh? Of secret things, I am monam, I am silence. When you are silent from your material life, new thing, you create space for the secrets to come into your heart. Well, but he says in the purport, by silence one can make progress very quickly. By monam one can make progress very quickly. Today we will do that. We will be silent. And we will be silent in the truth, in the traditional sense of the word, which is we will refrain from all material sound vibration, from which we express with our languages, and only have spiritual sound vibration, which we express with this sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. See how your mind becomes peaceful, don't become scared at that time, because it's so unusual that you become so unusually peaceful. Don't become scared and go like, something new. And it's normal to be peaceful. But we live in Kali Yuga and we are so unpeaceful. We are so abnormal. This is the vow of silence. If you have any questions to this, please keep them for the end, where we will have question and answer. Now we will talk about 64 rounds. I know that you all are almost with feverish enthusiasm expecting this day. Yesterday I spoke with a few of you, and I asked the question, are you ready? We are ready, Maharaj. We want to go. We have heard so much. We have practiced so much. Now it's our day. They didn't say, leave us alone, Maharaj, but that was implied. And I will do so. It's our day. It's your day. It's your 64 rounds day. I would like to talk a little bit about this. This is now called a motivational talk, which is usually forbidden in the, from the Vyasa Sun. But I think to motivate devotees to chant or to increase their spiritual practice, that's all right. That's all right. Actually, we only want to do motivational talks, but we want to talk about philosophy and our relationship to Krishna during this motivational talks, not about other motivations during the. We want to motivate for service also. So now, good. Every morning, when the sun would rise, the jewel of the twice born, Gauranga Mahaprabhu would receive his dear devotees, the Navadvip Vasis, and he would ask them, he would instruct them. During this time, the Navadvip Vasis brought flower garlands, chandan, yogurt, bananas as gifts for their Lord. And they indicated with this that they are the eternal associates of the Lord, who always have been with the Lord, who have always been serving the Lord. At that time, Lord Chaitanya gave them his instructions. He said, I've spoken the Maha Mantra. Now go ahead and chant it, being sure to take a vow to repeat it a fixed number of times every day, Nirbanda. All perfections will come to you from chanting the holy name. Chant always. There is no other rule to follow. Now, what Lord Chaitanya said, chant with the Nirbanda. He had in mind chant with a fixed number of rounds. There are other readings for Nibbanda which we won't go into here. On Saturday we will explain the word Nibbanda in relationship to chanting a little bit more. You will find out it has a lot to do with Sambandha. But here we will only concentrate on the meaning chant with a fixed number of rounds. You know, the Lord was very serious. These were his eternal associates. He instructed them, giving them his heart. And of course, everyone wanted to know what is a Nirbanda, what is the fixed number of rounds, what's the proper number. This is explained very nicely in Adi Lila, where we find, where we come to, no, in Anchal, in I'm sorry, where is it really? In Anchalila, the ninth chapter, verse 121 to 122 of the Chaitanya Bhagavad. There, we find that the Lord is in a dilemma. And when he was in Puri, he was always invited by his devotees to take his lunch meal. There were many, many invitations because there were an increasing number of faithful devotees. Swarup Damodar, the secretary, had to manage these invitations, saying that he had to coordinate them. Today, Mahaprabhu is at the house of Manohar Das. Tomorrow, he is at the house of Mahaprabhu Das. And he had to manage it. So then one day, Mahaprabhu smilingly announced that he would only come to the house of Lakeshvara. That Lakeshvara means the possessor of 100,000. And it was referred to as money, currency. He would only come to a possessor of 1,000. It's like if Prahlada Nanda Maharaj comes to Radha Desh and he says, I will only come to the house of a millionaire. We all would understand, well, that's 1 million euros. With the devotees in the Bhaktivedanta College. They are so rich. And he only wants to come to the millionaires. I'm joking. If you have donations, give them to the Bhaktivedanta College. For the advertisement. The devotees were dejected. No one was a millionaire or a Lakeshvara, the possessor of 100,000. I think these were conch shells, you know, small conch shells. This was a currency at that time. And they expressed their dejection. But Mahaprabhu heard how they were going like, oh, he will never come to me. I'm so poor. The Lord would laugh and explain that he meant he would go to those who are rich with the holy name. The Lord replied, do you know what is a Lakeshvara? A millionaire. He is someone who chants 1 lakh or 100,000 holy names a day. I call such a person a Lakeshvara. I only take meals in that person's house, no one else. Now, the Vaishnavas, after this period, all took the first and foremost instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that spirit, that you had to chant how much? 100,000 names, which comes up to less than 64 rounds. I think it's 58 rounds or something. But because we are always a little bit too brittle, too fast in counting, and a little absent-minded, 6 more rounds were stocked upon it, so that it's 64 rounds altogether, that you have completed by all means the requirement of Lord Chaitanya. It's important. When the Lord comes down, comes at the Kali Yuga avatar, and gives an order to the conditioned souls, it means henceforward you have to follow that order. And that was kept up to the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, if you have not completed 64 rounds, you have to fast. No eating for you. Please don't become dejected, Manohar. I know that you are a temper commander and you have little time and lots to do. Here is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote. Everyone living in the Gaudiya Mart, let us make it more poignant, more unsettling. Everyone living in the Hare Krishna movement, at that time the Hare Krishna movement meant the Gaudiya Mart. Everyone living in the Gaudiya Mart at that time. Now we have Prabhupada has founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so everyone, at that time he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, everyone living in the Gaudiya Math must make an effort to chant one leg, 64 rounds of holy names daily. Otherwise, if you don't do this, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart that will hamper one's devotional service. Let me ask you a question. Do you sometimes have material attachments? You smile. It could be because you don't chant 64 rounds a day. Huh? This is what we read here. Otherwise, if you don't do this, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart that will hamper. Hamper means it will be an obstacle to one's devotional service. Now it gets more intense. In fact, the Lord does not accept food offering from one who does not chant daily one leg of holy names. You can't eat because your eating must be offered. But when you don't chant 64 rounds, the plate is pushed from the altar. Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, I don't accept your offering. Then what will you eat? No offered food. Eat air. Become a prana yogi. Or chant 64 rounds. Then you can take the plate back. Then the plate will remain on the altar. The Lord accepts it. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think he kept your questioning glances in mind. How will we do this? He said, one should balance his time so that he can finish one leg of holy names per day and also perform his other allotted duties. It is crystal clear that is the standard. Now, when Srila Prabhupada came in the West, he encouraged his early disciples to follow this standard. It was the standard of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the standard of his own Guru Maharaj. How could he do anything else than keep that standard? But he soon saw that the Western devotees were not able to calmly sit down and chant for 5 or 6 hours a day. And you will see, and he adopted as an acharya in whom the Lord rests his power and rests the power of attorney. He can, in other words, make arrangements. He adjusted. But in the very beginning, he had these 64 rounds in his mind for his disciples. One of his earliest disciples, Mukunda Maharaj, remembers a very, very nice deen. You will love this. I will read it. It appeared in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and I read it also later in a Vyasa Puja offering of Mukunda Maharaj. In 1967, at San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada asked me, what is your definition of Krishna? I said, Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Being. Our duty is to worship and serve Him. Swamiji, that is the affectionate name the devotees used for Srila Prabhupada at that time, Swamiji seemed fairly satisfied, and then he said, okay, you must chant 64 rounds per day on your beads. I was shocked at this and could not answer. I did not know if there was any need to answer. I just kept looking at Swamiji and he kept looking at me. Prabhupada now checks out his disciple, and he makes a very weighty decision, as we will hear. After some time, he said, "Or at least you can chant 32 rounds a day." Still silence. I considered it to be very difficult to chant even 16 rounds. I was wondering how I could possibly chant 32 rounds. After some time, Swamiji said, "At the very least, you must chant 16 rounds every day." Later, in his devotional manual, The Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada explained more what must have been going on in his thinking at that time. The fact that Westerners just can't concentrate for a longer period. He writes, it's in the purported text 5 of the Nectar of Instructions. "The Krishna consciousness movement," that's us, "prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, this minimum number of rounds is prescribed." It's a minimum. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as, you know everything, Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. This is our hope. Remember yesterday how we called out the name Gauranga and the atmosphere which was in the room? Wow! That was, we could see he has power, he has mercy, he has so on. But please know, my dear devotees, Prabhupada always encouraged to chant more. Yes, he was lenient. Yes, he was understanding and merciful. Yes, he was considerate. And he reduced the standard rounds for Gaudiya Vaishnavas to a manageable minimum. But he never lost out of sight that chanting more is desirable. Here are a few quotes for you. "Please do not forget to chant at least 16 rounds. That is the minimum. The maximum is 300,000. You know, as Haridas Thakur did. And then Prabhupada says, I like this very much, "This is not impractical." Now, if you chant 300,000, who has ever chanted 300,000 names? One devotee. Could you remember how long this took? Or how much time you had? About 18 to 19 hours. That means 5 hours per left. You chanted this when you were young? Some years. What is your age now? 37. So maybe with 32 or 33 years, that's young. My dear devotees, if you are old, 40, 47. This is a difficult role, a number of rounds. It is only manageable with some mercy. To do it on it, how many did you do it for a year or for one day? Yeah. And you felt now it's time to take rest and eat, you know. For one day we can do such things, you know. For I can even pull myself up for one time on this. But then I have to go to the hospital undash my muscles, which have tear, have been torn brutally, you know. So one day, one time, everything, everyone can do everything, you know. But Hare Krishna. It's really almost for liberated souls to do that. It is very difficult. You can ask our Prabhuji. It is very difficult. And to do that, there was once a devotee who did this for a month, and afterwards, because he, or it was a Mataji, was so weakened by the eating, was very, very reduced, very minimal. If you eat, you sometimes have to sleep. This is not possible, because you have to do everything what you do, with toilet, eating, by bathing, you know, all the little things which you, the sitting up and sitting down take some time, you know, everything you do, have to do in the span of 5 hours of, the Mataji had to do it in four hours, sleeping in 4 hours and doing everything. It's really, Prabhupada, this is not Prabhupada, this is not impractical. In fact, Prabhupada pointed out that continuous chanting, continuous, always, chanting is our goal. The word asakrit, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Bhagavatam, is significant. For it means not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Kirtaniya Sada. Sada means in Yugoslavian language now, and in Sanskrit it means always. There's always the now. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds on their beats daily. Actually, listen to this, actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakur Haridas, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. So this is what we should do. Just like Haridas, we should chant. Indeed, he had no other business. So today, there are many more quotations which I've written down, but time is also there. And so today, we chant the normal number of rounds. Today, we join the definition of the Hare Krishna movement of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And we hear, we join a recommendation of Srila Prabhupada. It's not an order. The order is 16 rounds daily. But there is a recommendation, a suggestion, a hint, a pointing in one direction. Chant more, chant more. Many devotees many of my God brothers are dealing with this instruction, this hint, in the way that they chant more than 16 rounds on a daily basis. We know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, even to the last days of his stay on planet Earth, I think he was either 24 or 25 rounds a day. He would do that without fail. Because it's known amongst us Prabhupada disciple, the Prabhupada would, he talked about this. If you want other motivational quotes, here is a good one in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila 337, or a conversation with Lokanath Maharaj on the 10th of November 1975. It's nothing. It's normal. We are not normal. Therefore, it's difficult for us. And we think, 64 round state, my God, I have to phone home that they send an ambulance if something happens to me. And so on. It's normal. It's nice. It's wonderful. It's nectar. You are looking at me. And I am looking at you. Having said this, I will say the opposite of what I have said. There is one instruction which we have learned yesterday from Sanatana Goswami, that is, we should chant with avyagratva, that is patience, in a calm and peaceful state of mind. This is not possible if you feel under stress and you feel pushed to do something. In yoga we hear there are 2-3 zones, and yoga takes place in the middle zone. That I thought was very nicely defined by our Dayal Gauranga. There is the comfort zone, pizza and olive oil, and then there is the stretching zone, where you make an effort, and then there is the stress zone. The improvements in, for instance, in asana, don't take place when you stay in your comfort zone. There is no health benefit. And similarly, the benefit of yoga does never take place in the stress zone, when you my God, do you hear? It's a real sound. It comes from this muscle, which is very stiff. I do it a little bit more. Oh my God! Well, if I do more, then I will tear it apart. No matter. I want to be a good yogi. Crutch! Oh, good night, Chaitanya. I can't go back now. The muscle is torn. Bring the ambulance. It was an example. That's where no benefit is. You hurt yourself in the stress zone. So, also in relationship to Bhakti Yoga's practice, the chanting, it is said you should chant in a peaceful mood, calm and peaceful state of mind. There is, in Bengal, I can't say it in Bengal, I don't even try, especially not when Anjana, who's Paka Bengali, is here. There was a king in the town of Vishnupura, a little intense king. His name was Gopal Singh, or Gopal the Lion. And he gave a lion-like instruction. His instruction was, everyone in his kingdom had to chant 64 rounds a day. It was a Vaishnava kingdom. He was a Vaishnava. He said, I'm king, 64 rounds a day. Now imagine the poor farmer who has to go in the summer, has to go early into the fields to irrigate it so that the pumpkins and the zucchinis or the spinach would get enough water. He would rise at 4 o'clock and just wash himself, get everything ready for the field work, sit down. He could chant 5.5 rounds. And then he rushes to the field, is all day on the field, and comes back at 8 o'clock from the field. Now he has to chant 64 rounds minus 5.5 rounds. That is, oh my God, 58.5 rounds at 8 o'clock in the evening. And tomorrow he has to get up at 4 o'clock. Would he chant very enthusiastic rounds? No. He would chant under stress. You know, he would really chant under stress. You know, and he knew, you know, there were spies going around in the midnight. You never knew the evening times, you know, you knew if you were not chanting, you might be reported to the king's office. Then he would say, chant or leave the kingdom. Yes, people were resettled during that time in other kingdoms, and others were invited. He wanted to have a Vaishnav kingdom with 64 rounds a day. Hare Krishna! So this is, from that time onwards, the chanters have said the Gopal Singh rounds. Don't chant Gopal Singh rounds. Don't chant the Gopal Singh. Now I will try to say a Bengali word, and Anjana, please listen carefully to correct me. Groho. Is there something like this word? Graham should mean a burden. No, you just say to save me from embarrassment. Is there a Bengali word? Not that you know.
I thought Groho means planet.
Planet, I also think so anyway. Then I don't remember the word, because Groho must mean planet. It means also Mrs. Here's the old elderly lady. What do you have to say? Yeah, it means also, I also remember, groho, that means it's a burden to do this. Don't make a loving devotional service into a burden. How will Krishna feel? It's a burden, I have to do this. How do you feel if someone says, I have to pay you obeisances, Maharaj? You would say, don't do it. No need. Live happy. So don't make it a burden. Although today you will try to chant your 64 rounds, no one will ask you how many rounds you did. It is not the idea of a japa retreat to bring you into a stress zone. If for you, you feel you have chanted and given it your best with X number of rounds, be in the X number of rounds. But stretch yourself. Chant more than 16 rounds. Go in the stretching zone, not in the stress zone. Although for one day, you know, this is how the paradoxical spirit, for one day everyone can make a climb. Everyone can do it. I would still recommend that you try it, that you fix your intention to do it. But if something happens, don't feel undervalued and get a complicated mentality, you know. No one will ask you for this. I'm very keen on this. Other japa retreat instructors wouldn't say it so much. I think everyone would say don't kill yourself. But I feel it's very important, because you should never develop a dislike for chanting. You should always, you know, in educational pedagogics, when you create in your student a dislike for something, he will not on his own do that again. So please don't do it. But I can tell you, there are many devotees in your situation. That means many devotees who rush the 16 rounds. Some who I know they don't chant 16 rounds in a japa. Some of the participants in the japa retreat are not yet on the level of 16 rounds. They are congregational members. But many of them have made the most wonderful breakthrough experiences by really giving it a try. But not a try in the stress department. It's a try in pleasing Krishna, doing a sacrifice for Krishna, trying to glorify our Lord. That is the attempt, not to create stress. Having said this, I will now end. We will just ask a few quick questions. I would appreciate that if these questions are practical questions, means how to are there any questions how we will do the day? I should maybe say it before. Actually, of course there are questions. We will now take our lunch, and I request you when you leave, not when you leave this door, but when you leave that other door, then you enter into the vow of silence. Here you can still make some last, before the temple room, some last discussions which need to say, the shower opens when you, I broke it this morning, you can still open it, and you need to use your teeth, and then, some last minute instructions you can give. Joking, but you know what I want to say. But when you leave that other door, you, with that step, you enter into the world of stopping the sound vibration. It's an interesting experience when you stand before the prasadam, serving you sign language maybe. But by now, all those who serve prasadam know how much you want, so they will remember that. And then I request you to keep the vow of silence up till 7 o'clock, when we meet in the community hall. As far as the noon prasadam is concerned, we usually do it during japa retreat, that the noon prasadam starts at 2 o'clock. That's there, and it will be open for you up till 5 o'clock. If you feel that during 2 o'clock you have caught a good wave, so to say, and you want to stay on it, you don't need to interrupt it. You can interrupt it at 3 o'clock when you take your prasadam. It's always there. It's like a buffet. You can serve yourself after you have washed your hands and taken such a wave. I think that is all as far as the practical thing is concerned. Yes? We will have a very nice landing session at 7 o'clock. You will like that very much. Any questions how to do the 64 round stay? Yes, Peter.
Could you give us any tip how to recognize the line, the border between liminal space and the stress zone, which is individual for each one of us, probably. But
when you enter the stress zone, you will be. It's a mixture of dead and passionate. You will not be. It's a contradictory. You will be. Arno is really dead. You are, or even minus. You are afraid. You are when you're in yoga entering the stress zone, you are afraid, you know already something is coming. I must admit, yesterday for me I entered the stress zone, and you know, something in the shoulder just went like, yoo-hoo, that's too much. And then I immediately followed Dayaguranga's advice. I didn't move the arm any longer in that direction. I went back, and immediately the shoulder said, thank you. So I was really feeling the fear, and I knew I would tear a muscle and do something very with bad consequences. So, but others I hear go, well, my neighbor does it, I will do better than my neighbor. Grr, crutch, you know, and then have a problem. So, I mean, I must say, that's my answer to your question, but I again want to say 64 rounds is easy. Just avoid that your mind goes in a... Just be happy. You chant. You're doing the right thing. Sit before the deities, the room. We have many Tulsi plants there from yesterday. Tulsi Devi is there. You are sitting before the Lord. And yes, the curtain may still be drawn. In other words, you don't feel so much devotional feelings, what to speak of the higher realizations. But you're sitting before the altar. One day it will open for you, whatever Krishna, however Krishna wants to open. It's just the mind. If you feel stress in the chanting, what I doing the 64 rounds day, what I always do to de-stress is what I recommend. Make a walk, eat something, rest a little if you're getting tired, and read some prayers, which put you again into a space where you are devotionally alive. No, break. The mind's pattern can be broken by doing something else. And you can especially get some devotional feelings by reading prayers. You like the one which has been given to you, this samsara sagana anato. Then will help you.
Manjari.
Can we greet each other?
Can we greet each other every other day? You should greet each other. Why do you not greet yourselves in Radha-Desh enough on this day?
It's spiritual vibration, it's Hare Krishna.
I'm just giving an answer. No, the idea is to not make contact, also to not make contact with anyone else than Krishna. It's an exclusive day for an exclusive relationship. That's the idea. In India, you have the Monia. When I was in India, you know, there was a Mona Baba who read the newspaper, but he wouldn't speak. His mind is all the time active and vibrating with political news. Rajiv Gandhi did this, and so-and-so did this, and the parliament, and so on. Or other Moni Babas I saw, they went like, that's an Hindi in case you can't understand Hindi by a Moni Baba. It's not the idea. Or you know, you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Greet everyone with a Manjari smile. No, the idea is really an exclusive relationship with Krishna. To silence the mind. That's. Oh, Moni Babas, I saw. The last I saw, they had these slates, you know, these slates where they write down something. Radhana Maharaj describes such a Moni Baba in Vrindavan. If you stay here, you will become mad after Krishna. That's what the Moni Baba wrote for Radhanath Maharaj on the thing. But the latest Moni Baba I saw, he had a computer. That's not the idea. Anyways, creativity, Indian creativity. Good. Now it's 10 minutes past 9. I wish you a wonderful 64-ounce day. I know you will do great. You are a great participant. We could see yesterday when we chanted together, and some of you told me they didn't want to stop. They just didn't want to stop and were mildly angry when I stopped the session. So, have a wonderful day and see you at 7 o'clock German time in the community hall. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Radha Gopinata ki, Go Prema Nandi Hari Bol.